When our second son, our oldest son, our second child, our oldest son was born, I bought Nance a camcorder. It was one of them big monster jobs you put on your shoulder, you know. So by the time our third child, our youngest son, was born, we could film some of that birth. It was definitely a PG-rated version of it, and it was very short because I was the one doing the filming. That wasn't my thing. But anyhow, as I'm filming this, we have an old home movie of this, and the first scene is Nance lying in bed, and she's smiling, she's happy, she's ready for this birth to come, everything's going fine. The second scene is Max is born, they've just spanked him, he's crying, Nance is completely worn out, she looks like she's been through a battle. This little 8-pound, 3-ounce baby has caused a lot of pain in her life. Maybe one of the most painful experiences she has ever had to endure. And then there's one final scene of the nurse with Max all wrapped up in a blanket being handed to Nance. And she's again smiling and looking refreshed. And she just looks like she would be willing to go through this pain again and again to receive this gift of this child. And I share that, I start that this morning with this story because I think in a lot of ways it exemplifies our life and our faith as well. We have to go through a lot of trials as we live out our faith in Christ, and just as we live out our life, we go through a lot of trials. But God has promised that at the end of these trials is going to be something more wonderful than we can even imagine. And as we close out our letter today of 2 Timothy, we're going to be reminded of this truth because it certainly reflected Paul's life. Even as he is winding down his life, he's still facing suffering, but he knows what the end's going to be. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning, as I've entitled this long title, Deserted, Needy, and Under Attack, but Never Alone and Always Provided For. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're always there for us. I just echo what Vince already prayed. Thank you, Lord, for your promises that you give to us and that we can fully stand on, because you are God. You are truth. You are faithful. And Lord, as we're reminded of that this morning, may it encourage us. May it bring us comfort and peace. And may it spur us on as well, and continuing to be faithful to you, whether we're going through good times or whether we're facing struggles in our life, that we know you're there and you will see us through until we're home with you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As we wrap things up today with our study of 1 and 2 Timothy, I just really want to quickly go over some of the things that we've covered in this letter of 2 Timothy. We began in chapter 1, Paul wrote, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He's talking about Timothy's sincere faith. And with that, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God. Timothy, you've received this gift of salvation. You've received this treasure of the gospel. Fan in the flame, spread it. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but a power of love and self-control. Everything you need, Timothy, God has given to you to be faithful. Then we went on and we saw in 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And if you remember when we went over that section, remember Paul's in prison, and he's awaiting death for sharing the gospel. And Timothy is his son in the faith. And what is he saying to his son? Just keep doing what I'm doing, Timothy. Even if it leads to your death, keep being faithful in sharing the gospel. Verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard it. Hold on to it tightly, which means live it out faithfully in your life, Timothy, and be willing to share it. And then in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul's had this baton of the gospel that he's been faithful in carrying forth. He's trying to pass it on to Timothy, and already he's telling Timothy, hey, you need to equip others to receive this as well and for them to pass it on also. Then we went on in chapter 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at Paul's final charge to Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And sandwiched in between this, 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He's just telling Timothy in this letter, Timothy, be faithful in sharing the word of God. And know it's going to bring persecution to your life. It's going to bring suffering. And Paul's experiencing that himself right now. So what we saw, though, as Jed shared with us last week from verse 4, 6 through 8, we've seen this kind of, he's beginning to wrap up this. He says, from already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Paul knows he's going to die. And he says then, as he reflects on his past, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now he looks to the future. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved or longed for his appearing. So just in a very brief couple verses here, in general, he says, I know I'm going to die. As I look back on my faith journey, which was a fight, which was a race, I've kept the faith. And now he's going to look ahead to what's coming. That's just a very general overview of that passage. Today, he's going to be saying some of the same things, only he's going to go in more detail with them. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, beginning in verse 9. And in this passage, again, Paul's still, even though death is very near for him, he's still suffering. He's still facing great trials in his life. And it's trials that, even if we had more detail for, I don't think we could really fully understand and imagine. It's just like when we go through intense suffering, if you've experienced intense suffering in your life, it's hard to explain to other people what you're going through, isn't it? It's hard for us to comprehend that. We can't really understand intense suffering unless we've experienced it ourselves. So we're going to look at this passage this morning, but I'm just telling you, I'm warning you, we're only getting a glimpse. We're not going to fully understand what Paul's going through, but hopefully we'll understand the big picture of things. So this section I've entitled verses 9 through 16 as deserted, needy, and under attack. And it begins with these words in 4:9. Do your best to come to me soon. And Paul's using really strong language here. He's saying to Timothy, make every effort you can to get to me. Come to me. And part of that is Paul knows he's going to die soon. He's got a little bit of time because he's a Roman citizen and there's a process to be followed. So he knows he's got a little time yet, but he knows he's going to die. And we can imagine if we were going to die, we would want to do that well. And we would want people around us to help us do that. So he's got that going on, but there's some other things going on here too as to why he wants Timothy to be with him. And part of it is he's feeling deserted. Well, before we go there, he wrote back in 2 Timothy 1:4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with your joy. He just, as he's written these letters to Timothy to encourage him, he's just saying that, Timothy, I want you to come to me because you encourage me too. And so that's going on. But again, part of the reason he wants Timothy to come, he's being deserted. It says in verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone on to Thessalonica. And Demas is singled out here. Demas is also mentioned in Colossians and Philemon. Demas was someone who was a partner with Paul in ministry. And in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it appears that's what Paul's point is here, that Demas has turned away from the Lord. Have you ever had somebody close to you that was a brother or sister in Christ and turned away from the Lord and began to live in rebellion against God? That's one of the hardest things we can experience. That's part of what Paul is suffering here. But it's more than that. He says, Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Crescens isn't mentioned anywhere else in Scripture, but he must be someone who's close to Paul. And Titus, obviously, he's mentioned throughout the New Testament as a very strong partner in the faith. These two guys are mentioned. He's not being critical of them. He's just saying, they're not with me any longer. They've left. And then he goes on, he says, kind of almost in passing, Luke alone is with me. He's making it sound like, man, I don't have anybody here. But as we look at the end of this letter, he gives a whole list of names of people, and then he says, and the brothers here wish you well. So he has people around him, but he's feeling like he's alone. And again, part of that might just be because he's going through something that many people can't relate to. Again, have you experienced that in your own life? Have you gone through something that's been very difficult for you to go through and others around you couldn't really understand it? And it made you feel like you were alone. I think all of us have faced that at different times in our life. So that's going on. Then he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me. So he not only wants Timothy to come, he also wants John Mark to come with him. And this is interesting because the last time we see Paul and Mark together is in the book of Acts, and it's not good. Paul and Barnabas have just completed they're in the midst of their first missionary trip, and they took Mark along. And along the way, Mark abandoned them. Things must have got difficult, and he left, and he went back to Jerusalem. When Barnabas and Paul got back to Jerusalem, then they got into a heated debate because they wanted to go on another missionary church, and Barnabas, living up to his name, son of encouragement, wanted to bring Mark along. And Paul, being the more black and white kind of person, said, no way. And they split. And so it's awesome to see here, not only has Mark and Paul's relationship been reconciled, but we see that Mark's gone on to be faithful to the Lord and have a fruitful ministry. So it's wonderful to see that. We also see here, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. He may be the one bringing this letter of 2 Timothy to Timothy. He may also be the one there to replace Timothy so that he could come to Paul. So whether he's truly alone or he's just experiencing this sense of loneliness, Paul felt alone. And how do we feel when we feel alone? What can come with that? Things like discouragement. And he may have been feeling those things. Do you sometimes, when you read the New Testament, you look at guys like Paul and Peter and other guys like that, and you think, man, these guys never had a moment of weakness. They're rocks. That's not the case at all. They are human beings just like us. The same things we're challenged by, they were challenged by. They had moments where they were upset, moments where they were discouraged, moments when maybe they even had some doubts. That was part of it, but that's not what they were characterized. Paul isn't just experiencing loneliness, he's also in need. He says, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Again, remember, Paul's imprisoned. He's probably in some cold, damp dungeon someplace. He's cold. You ever been cold? Is it unpleasant to be cold? What happens when we get cold? Put the blanket on, more clothes on, or coat. Maybe get that favorite hot drink, or we go take a hot shower. Our cold passes. Has anybody in here been cold for a long period of time? No one. If Paul's in a dungeon that's down underground, the temperature below 6 feet in the ground is a constant 55 degrees. So imagine being in a a room where it's 55 degrees constantly and all you have is the clothes on your back, how cold would set in and how that would be miserable. He also writes, also the books and above all the parchments. He wants these writings to be brought to him, and we don't know for sure what they are, but it's almost certainly has to do with his ministry. It may be his writings, it may be scripture. He wants to be able to feed on the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. And we know how that is too, don't we? We know how it is when the Word of God, when maybe we get away from the Word of God, and how we begin to almost shrivel up spiritually as we drift away from the Word of God. Imagine if we didn't have the Word of God in our life, what that would be like, how hard that would be, how challenging that would be. So Paul, he's lonely, he's physically in need, and then we also see he's under attack. It says in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposes our message. This Alexander is also spoken of in 1 Timothy 1:20. It's a man that Paul had excommunicated from the church because he spoke blasphemies, false things against God. So we can imagine the vendetta that this man likely had against Paul and against his message. And he said he did him great harm. He's probably talking about he did him great harm legally in the eyes of the court. He probably spoke very strongly against Paul, and he did damage. And he warns Timothy, beware of him yourself. He's writing as if Timothy knows who this guy is, so watch out for him. He could cause you danger as well. So he's lonely, he's physically in need, he's under attack, and yet the most discouraging thing for Paul might be what we see in verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against him. So Paul's a Roman citizen, and there's a process to go through, and part of that process is Paul has the opportunity to defend himself. This is probably a public hearing. So Paul could speak, and others could come and speak on Paul's behalf to defend him. And he writes here that no one came to speak on his behalf. No one defended him. Just reminded me of Jesus when he was arrested and everybody abandoned him. That's what Paul's experiencing right now. He's been abandoned by everyone. And this is probably something that he never experienced before. Paul has experienced so much suffering and pain as far as being a follower of Jesus Christ and a proclaimer of the gospel message, but Paul almost always had followers. When he was being abused or attacked, there was almost always somebody there with him. Here, he's all by himself. He's alone, and it's painful. So Paul's lonely, he's physically in need, he's under attack, and he's abandoned. Can we relate to all of that happening at the same time? Only in part, can't we? We can't fully understand what Paul's going through, but we can understand, all of us have experienced moments or seasons of loneliness, haven't we? We know what that's like. Most all of us have experienced different kinds of physical suffering in our life. Most of us have been attacked in some way by others. And even some of us have experienced abandonment by those close to us. We, in part, can understand what's going on here. We can't fully understand what Paul's going through, but we can understand that suffering is part of following Jesus. So for Paul, for Timothy, and for us, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer as we faithfully follow Christ, and we're going to suffer as we live in this broken, sinful world. So, up to this point, it's a pretty bleak and dark picture of what Paul's experiencing. But then as we go on to these next verses, we see, beginning in 4:17, but the Lord. Isn't it awesome? We see so often in Scripture these dark, bleak, seemingly hopeless passages that are followed then by, but the Lord, or but God. And it's awesome. It just transforms everything. So Paul, he is certainly facing all of these suffering and trials, and he's probably having moments of discouragement, moments of trial, but the overarching thing is, but the Lord. And he's going to go on and he shares in verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Even though Paul was deserted at his hearing, he was never alone. Jesus was always there for Paul. And all Paul had to do was think back on his life and ministry. All he had to do was think back to all those times as he went about his faith walk, how the Lord was there again and again and again. You know, you talk about a guy that's got 9 lives. You know, think of Paul, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked out at sea, bitten by a poisonous snake. God was there. He was there for him over and over again. And 15 years before this letter of 2 Timothy was written, as Paul and Barnabas were on their second missionary journey, they were facing great persecution and suffering, and they were afraid. And in Acts 18, 9 and 10, it says, the Lord said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one's going to attack and harm you. How do you think you would respond if the Lord spoke those words to you? You think you would be at peace, confident? Paul was, and the Lord has spoken these words to us. He has told us he is never going to leave us. He says in Matthew 20, 28, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's saying that to all who have faith in him. I'm with you. This faith journey you're on, I'm on it with you. So the Lord had promised Paul that he would be with him throughout the work that he had for him. And one of the promises he said to him, you're even going to go to Rome and you're going to preach to the Gentiles there. And that's where Paul was. And it looks like he was finishing the mission Jesus had given him. But what about us? What about us? Can we look back on our life and see God's promises fulfilled as we have been faithful, trusting in the Lord? And that's the key. God makes many, many promises, but they're only going to be fulfilled in our life when we trust him and when we follow him. And when you've done that in your life, has God ever let you down? Has he ever failed in one promise that he's made to you if you responded faithfully? I know I can declare he's never once left me down. And I've shared before, I've left him down many times. I've had moments of unfaithfulness. He's never had one. It's part of who he is. It's part of his promises that we can stand on. He's always there for us. Paul then adds, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. And he's thinking now of the story of Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den. If you remember, he's thrown in the lion's den. He's left there overnight. Next day, the king comes. Daniel, how are you doing? God protected me. He would say, Paul's thinking of this, and he's thinking back on his life, and he's saying over and over and over again, I've been rescued from the lion's mouth. I've been saved again and again and again. God has done that for me. And so as Paul's been rescued in the past, he looks forward to the rescue that's yet to come. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. As the Lord has promised and has rescued, he's just saying, I know he's going to do it again. I am confident in that. And we see that in verses like 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, the moment I die, I am going to be home with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Again, he's saying, I'm willing to keep working for the Lord, keep serving others, but the moment he takes me home, wow, that's going to be awesome. I'm ready for that. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what he's declaring. Again, have you ever been in a situation where something was going on, you were going through something, and you absolutely knew what the outcome was going to be before it happened? I'd have different times in my own life when I knew confidently what was going to happen before it happened. And it just brought great contentment and peace to my life. It was like, God's got this. I don't have to worry about it. And that's Paul's attitude, and that's what God wants our attitude to be. Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Going back to that story I shared in the beginning, Nance had a lot of pain when she went through the birth of Max. But when Max was born, that wasn't the focus. She hadn't forgot the pain. It just, that wasn't important any longer. Max was there. The pain was history. That's what it's going to be like for us. When our time here is up and we're with the Lord, we're not going to focus on the past. That's history. We're going to focus on all the glory we're experiencing as we're home with the Lord. That's God's encouragement for us this morning. And because of that, Paul ends this section, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And hopefully every one of us here this morning can echo those words as we think about how God the Father sent his only Son to die on a cross to save us. And as we've placed our faith in him, he's cleansed us. He's made us white as snow, his word says. And he's not only cleansed us, but he's imparted his righteousness to us. We're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're in relationship with him. We're part of God's family. And with that comes tremendous blessing. And may we also say to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So in just kind of wrapping things up, I just want to reflect for a moment on Paul's life. Paul was called by God. Was he faithful? It sure seems he was faithful. God used him to write 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. But Paul just didn't write the Word of God. He lived it. He stood on it. And he encouraged others to do that as well. He faithfully took forth that baton of the gospel. And he equipped others to do that as well, including Timothy. Was Timothy faithful? Based on everything we know, he was also faithful. The only thing we know in Scripture is in Hebrews chapter 13, it speaks of a Timothy. It speaks as if everybody knows this Timothy, and it says he was released from jail. In other words, Timothy had gone to prison for his faith as well. We also know from works outside of Scripture, tradition has it, that Timothy went on for 30 more years, being faithful to the call placed upon his life. He remained a leader in the Ephesus church until he was martyred for his faith near the end of the first century. He was faithful. What about you and me? The baton has been passed to us now. What will history say about us when we're gone? What will the Lord say about us when we stand before him? Hopefully he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I would just want to encourage us all again this morning that we would set apart in our heart Christ as Lord and that we would always be prepared to do whatever he wants us to do. And that will look different for every one of us. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this morning what you need to do. The Lord will show you through His Word and His Holy Spirit what you need to do and what I need to do. May we be faithful to whatever that is for each one of us, because we all have been equipped in different ways. We all have different experiences. We all have different circles of influence so that we can reach more and more people. May we be faithful in reaching out, whether it's pointing somebody to Jesus, sharing Jesus with somebody, whether it's inviting them to a study or to church, whether it's loving them in some way. May we be faithful. May we be faithful. As we close our time this morning, I just want to invite anyone that would like prayer to come forward as we go to our closing song. And this prayer might be for wisdom you need for something. Or maybe you've experienced a praiseworthy thing in your life and you just want to share it. Or maybe you need help with something. Or maybe there's some other prayer need. If you want prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you. Please come up.